I thought that since I'm talking tonight about music, I would go ahead and pick some songs just that kind of work as illustrations as I go through the second part. So if you'll stand together, and we'll start with number 108. I guess I need a hymnal. Number 108, Come Christians Join to Sing. Yeah, we'll do all of them. Come, Christians, join to sing. Alleluia, amen. Loud praise to Christ our King. Alleluia, amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise is His gracious choice. Alleluia, amen. Come, lift your hearts on high. Alleluia, amen. Let praises fill the sky. Alleluia, amen. He is our guide and friend. To us He'll condescend. His love shall never end. Alleluia, amen. Praise yet our Christ again. Alleluia, amen. Life shall not end the strain. Alleluia, amen. On heaven's blissful shore, His goodness we'll adore, singing forevermore. Alleluia, amen.
All right, thank you. You may be seated, but keep your hymnals out and turn back one page to 106. Praise Him, praise Him. We'll sing the first and last verse of 106.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
And turn back to number 17. We'll sing the first and last verse of Ye Servants of God. It's number 17.
Ye servants of God, your praise proclaim and come.
66, sing the first and second verse, verses 1 and 2 of To God Be the Glory. We'll sing all the verses. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Contempt he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement can it be. Hallelujah.
Number 227, we'll sing the first two verses again. 227.
Mm-hmm. Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Let his church with gladness hymns of triumph sing. For her Lord now liveth, death hath lost its sting. Thine is the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won.
And if you'll stand for our last song, turn to number 382. 382, we'll sing the first two verses of Be Thou My Vision. Begin our time tonight by reading from Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. It's Colossians 3, starting at verse 12 to verse 17. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray together. Lord, you are God, our maker, and we are the flock, the sheep of your pasture. We worship you because of who you are, a great God and a king above all gods. Your majesty and might are beyond our comprehension. Yet you have revealed yourself to us in your Son, Jesus, and you demonstrate your love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Great are you, Lord, and greatly to be praised. Tonight, as we look at how music is used in our services, I pray that we would put on kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and love, so that we would be bound together in perfect harmony as we sing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm excited to get to talk to you tonight about one of my favorite topics, music in the church. Brad and I have been talking about doing something like this for several months now. We meet almost every Friday, and we started meeting together shortly after Brad came to Arkansas. It's become somewhat of a tradition to talk about the Sunday service and things in general over a burger during our Friday lunch break. Music can be controversial, so I want to approach this topic with a healthy dose of both humility and meekness. However, I also believe that it's important for us to communicate openly about why we do the things the way we do them, hopefully by understanding our motivations and some of the method behind the madness. You will be able to participate more fully in our services on Sunday morning. I'm not going to be speaking tonight from any particular passage in the Bible. I'll leave the expository preaching to those with more training. Instead, I'll be sharing from my limited experience as the song leader and choir director here at Fellowship Bible, and we'll be taking a pragmatic look at how our services are put together, and in particular at the musical elements. I'm going to cover three topics tonight. First, the order of service. And second, how hymns are selected and the criteria used for picking the songs. And finally, I'd like to talk about the song inserts and what we've been putting in the bulletin and future plans for those songs. So let's begin with the order of service. To be honest, the order of service is something that I inherited and I can't take credit for, although I've been making small changes here and there. Last fall, I attended a session on corporate worship at the Shepherd's Conference, where the speaker asserted that every church has some sort of liturgy. And while we're not observing the 16th Sunday after Trinity tonight, even in Bible churches today, there is usually a fixed order of worship or service that is based on past liturgies and has been used by the Universal Church for centuries. A stable order of service helps everyone to relax and engage more fully into each aspect of the service. Changes often result in surprises and distractions, which have to be overcome before the congregation can re-engage. So our order of service follows the patterns established in the liturgies of the past and provides a comfortable progression through the morning's activities. Our service begins with a greeting and the announcements. While announcements are necessary and important, they are not the focus of the service. By their nature, announcements focus us on the events of the past week and the week ahead, and we are all busy people. So if the hard drives in our minds weren't already churning, these reminders start to spin up our memory platters as we recall our schedules, our commitments, our unfinished tasks, and even some of our anxiety. The early church recognized that there was a need at the beginning of the service to encourage one another to forget the worries of the day and focus on the eternal God. So the call to worship is the name given to this part of the service. The call can be spoken from the pulpit, sung to one another, or read responsively. Recently, Steve has been reading scripture and leading in prayer. The scripture, usually from the Psalms, will list several attributes of God and exhort us to worship him because of those attributes. We have also used hymns or even choir songs to fill this role. These songs will often start with the word come. These songs speak both of the seeming differences of the called, young and old, male and female, etc., and their unity and the unity of their calling to become worshipers of the same God. There's a list of scripture readings on page 599 of our hymnal that work well for spoken calls to worship. Some hymns that function well as calls to worship are Come We That Love the Lord, Come Christians Join to Sing, and a song that the choir has done several times, Come People of the Risen King. This morning we sang O Worship the King. These songs are addressed to each other, but also magnify God. A call to worship is typically an up-tempo song and is followed by another fast-paced hymn of adoration and praise. Here we sing praise to God who reigns above, or declare, crown him with many crowns. These hymns should stir a sense of majesty and awe, similar to the words found in Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy, and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. these verses of praise often spill over into adoration. For example, Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast, or the last verse of Ye Servants of God, which says, then let us adore and give him his right, all glory and power, all wisdom and might, all honor and blessing with angels above, and thanks never ceasing and infinite love. These expressions of love are pure, unbounded, and even tender, but they are also grounded in a setting of God's character and work in our lives. It's also important for us to remember and retell and rehearse together the story of our salvation. Jesus himself established the tradition of the Lord's Supper with his disciples before he was crucified, and the communion table remains the primary means by which we recount the ways that Christ's great sacrifice changed us forever and continues to define, mold, and shape our lives. We celebrate communion once a month on the first Sunday, and there are several great hymns that we use to remind us of this pivotal event in our lives and in all of history. These hymns cover all aspects of salvation, starting with God's great love for us, our repentance, Christ's sacrifice, forgiveness from sins, and our joyful and thankful response to God's grace. These songs are not limited to just Communion Sundays. We meet together on Sunday because it is the day that Christ rose from the grave, and it is always appropriate to remember how Christ brought us from death into life. These songs usually have slower tempos than the previous hymns of praise, but it is also fitting to sing songs of victory and thankful celebration as we remember all that Christ accomplished for us. As a Bible church, we place great value on the reading and preaching of God's Word. The sermon is the prominent part of our service, both in length and placement, as it is the culmination of our morning together. The teaching of the Word is supported by the elements of the service that lead up to and follow it. Our scripture reading usually contains the passage that will be explained later in the service. There are also hymns that cover almost all of the themes in scripture, from the second coming to prayer, missions, and evangelism. It's usually possible to find at least one hymn that fits the theme found in the passage for the day. Another way to prepare ourselves to receive God's word is with a hymn of prayer or a hymn or prayer of illumination. Be Thou My Vision or Speak, O Lord, are good examples of inviting the Spirit of God to do his work of applying the verses found in Scripture to our lives. After the sermon, we have another song that will reinforce the message for the day and can also give us a chance to respond and affirm the truth of the message in song. So, just to review, we begin with a greeting, announcements, and a call to worship. We sing hymns of praise and adoration, and we remember together the good news of salvation and Christ's sacrifice for us. We read from the Bible, ask for illumination, and hear the word proclaimed. Afterwards, we are able to respond with a song that reinforces the truth we have just heard, and we're dismissed into the coming week with either a prayer or a benediction. We don't always do all of these things every Sunday. Typically, we have two songs at the beginning of the service, followed by a scripture reading, special music, another song, the sermon, and a final song. So part of the art of planning a service is to find songs that form a cohesive group, match the theme for the day, and also serve to advance the service as we move from our gathering time to the more serious considerations of the day. This brings us to the next topic, which is how songs are chosen each week. Any song can be decomposed into two main parts, words and music. These are both considerations when picking which songs we sing together, but I often start with the appropriateness of the words. Alistair Begg speaks with a pastor's heart when he talks of his congregation arriving nicely dressed and on their best behavior, but behind each suit and smile are real people living in quiet desperation, suffering from private battles with no one they can turn to for help. People need a savior, and they need to be reminded that we have a great high priest who gives us access to his throne. Once, when I was recruiting the high schoolers to sing with the choir for Christmas, I reminded them that singing was one of the rare activities that a young person could do to speak truth and encouragement into the lives of older adults. And Keith Getty summarizes the goal of choosing songs with rich, life-giving words with this question: what words have we implanted into the lives of our congregation today? And he reminds us that the songs we sing become part of the fabric of what we believe and often serve as the language we use to express our faith. John MacArthur points to Colossians 3:16 as a biblical prescription for Christian music. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. He emphasizes the didactic role of church music as we teach and admonish one another. Songs that deliberately purpose to put the intellect into a passive state while worshipers muster as much emotion as possible run contrary to the command to love the Lord our God with all of our mind and heart and soul and strength. So one of the most important criteria of the words we sing is a careful evaluation of what they teach us. The words should be true and biblically based. The words should not be stilted or trite, but should elevate our thoughts and stir our emotions out of a deeper understanding of God's nature. The words should be didactic in nature and favor explanation over repetition, and the words should express timeless truth in fresh and memorable ways. Songs are more than just words. They're poetry set to music, so it's always appropriate to consider the music when picking songs. John Piper asks and answers the question, what should be the defining sound of corporate worship besides the voice of biblical preaching? His answer is the people singing. This is a foundational concept when picking music that we sing together. While it need not be boring or simple, it does have to be easily singable. The melody and harmony of the songs, the leading voices, and the instrumentation are all subject to the question, how well did the congregation sing today? And what can we do to better support congregational singing? This means that the songs must be almost immediately familiar and easy to pick up. They should not be too high or too low and should avoid rhythmic syncopation and large skips. The melodies should be engaging and match the mood of the text. The match between the music and text should be such that they are wed together as a single expression, and to separate one from the other would be to lose a vital part of what is being communicated. I'd like to take some time to commend our piano and organ players. Bonnie, Leslie, Margaret, Linda, and Carrie all do a great job accompanying us as we sing every Sunday. They're excellent musicians, and we are all better singers because of them. They are also true servants who are always ready to help when needed and never react negatively to my last-minute changes. It's really been a blessing for me to work with these committed ladies. So, to summarize my thoughts on appropriate music for congregational songs, the music should convey the idea of the text. The music should be easy to learn, easy to sing, and memorable. The instruments should support and encourage congregational singing. And for practical purposes, songs should fit our existing format: organ, piano, song leader. This leads into the third main topic, which is the bulletin inserts that have been introduced recently and the future plans for those. So our church is somewhat unique in that we still sing primarily from the hymnal. Let me be quick to affirm that this is a good thing, primarily because the words contained in the hymns that we sing are true and biblically based. They elevate our thoughts and stir our emotions out of a deeper understanding of God's nature. They are didactic in nature and favor explanation over repetition, and they express truth in relevant and memorable ways. However, it may be surprising to some that we do not sing all the songs printed in our hymnal. First, it would not be practical to learn and remain familiar with all of the hymns. Second, some songs are rarely used just because the theme they are written on is not often the topic of a sermon. But third, and maybe most surprising, is that not all of the songs in the hymnal meet the criteria outlined above. So I'll avoid insulting your favorite hymn by not giving any examples. But Suffice it to say that we sing only a subset of the hymns printed in our current hymnal, and we do not rely solely on Word Music, the publisher of our hymnal, to define the boundaries of the songs that are appropriate for use in our service. So the inverse is also true. There are some songs that are appropriate for use in our services that are not included in our hymnal. This can be for a variety of reasons, but the most common reason is that the songs simply weren't written 25 years ago when our hymnal was compiled and published. These new songs meet all the same criteria previously covered and add a fresh voice to familiar truths. So when I talk about being excited to introduce songs via inserts to a congregation that otherwise strictly sings out of a hymnal, many people immediately jump to the conclusion that we're introducing choruses. I bristle a little bit at that. The terminology carries with it all the baggage of the worship wars of the past, where all kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and bearing with one another were abandoned in the name of satisfying the musical preferences of a new generation. The worship wars also brought out the worst in those who were defending hymns, because many of the hymns-only camp forgot that we are to correct one another with love, and we're too often motivated by sentimentality and basic resistance to change. So in order to avoid all of this baggage, I prefer the term modern hymns for the songs that we've been introducing. I think that properly captures the spirit of these new songs and is the same name used by many of the composers. So we're in no way trying to replace the great hymns of the faith, but we're simply adding to our repertoire the best songs being composed today. Instead of acting in isolation from the rest of the church, we've been careful to include the elders in all of our plans. But I think the biggest distinction is the way that the songs were selected. Instead of focusing on songs that would satisfy the musical tastes of a new generation, we chose songs that are intentionally wordy and can serve as our teachers. We chose songs that can be sung well by a congregation and work with our existing instruments. These songs stir our emotions not out of mindless emotionalism, but out of a deeper understanding of the nature of God. And just so no one is confused, I'm not talking about anything new yet. I'm just explaining what we've already been doing with the inserts and the bulletins. So as long as you're comfortable with what's been happening thus far, there should be no reason to be nervous about any big impending change. All of the feedback that I've received on the inserts up to this point has been very positive, and I hope that continues. So now on to the new stuff. The logistics of printing and cutting and inserting these new songs into the bulletin has become a bit tedious. So the big announcement of the night, if you can call it big, is that I'm looking into how we can bind up around 30 of these new songs and create a hymnal supplement that would be the same height and width as the current hymnals and would sit in the pews just in front of or just behind the current hymnals. The CCLI license that we currently subscribe to covers this type of use, and it would be much more convenient for everyone. Also, this is not without precedent. Churches have been releasing new revisions and hymnal supplements for years. So in addition to being more convenient for me, there are several other advantages to singing these new songs out of a book. We will be able to sing them on Sunday night when we take requests. It gives our instruments something to practice and use as inspiration for special music. It gives the congregation a list of songs that you can learn proactively, and it gives us a chance to introduce some of the popular word music pairings that aren't included in our hymnal, such as Ye Servants of God to the tune of O Worship the King, which I forgot to tell Carrie before. The tune for Ye Servants of God is, I think the better tune is number 10. But we'll be able to match those up and put those in the new one too. So I've put a good deal of time into picking the songs that will go into this collection and have reviewed the list with the elders, but even so, I expect some of the songs won't survive the test of time. That's okay. I expect that the booklet will only have a lifespan of 3 to 5 years, and we will have learned a lot about how these new songs are used in that time. So some of the songs that will be included in this new hymnal supplement include In Christ Alone, Before the Throne of God Above, Beneath the Cross of Jesus, that's the Getty version, and Wonder at Such Mercy, that calls me, that one. How Deep the Father's Love, Worthy of Worship, The Power of the Cross, and Jesus Your Name, that the choir is working on now. I'm just at the very beginning of this project, and I've finalized the list of songs that will be included. And as we sing new songs, I've been reformatting them into the correct size for the compiled book. I've spoken to the elders and gained their approval. I haven't gotten any pricing yet from printers, so there's a lot of work left to prepare the remaining hymns for printing. So I expect the new booklet will be ready sometime next year, but I'm not ready to commit to a time frame beyond that. Until then, we'll continue to use handouts and inserts, and we'll sing as we sing these new songs. Okay, so I've covered all three of the topics that I set out to cover tonight. Let me say a few words about how you can be involved in our music ministry here at Fellowship Bible. The first way is by praying for the service. There's a group that meets at 9 a.m. every Sunday to pray for the service. You're welcome to join that group as they pray, or to pray any other time that the Lord brings it to your mind. You're welcome. Pray for me as I plan and lead, for the instruments and the choir as they play and sing, and for the congregation as they join together for corporate singing. If you're a singer, we would love to have you in the choir. We meet Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. The choir often gets the privilege of introducing new songs to the congregation, although not every song that the choir sings is appropriate for congregational singing. You'll have a chance to be on the cutting edge. If you are interested in playing or singing a special, I've started scheduling time in the Sunday evening service for specials, and I'd love to have something as often as possible. The best instrumental arrangements include songs that we all know the words to, back to the teaching aspect of our songs. I do want a chance to listen to all the specials first, so just talk to me and we'll make sure you're ready to go. For everyone in the congregation, let me encourage you with some words that I usually reserve for choir practice. Engage with the songs and sing them with all your heart and mind and strength. There's an attitude among some men that they're too cool or too macho or too embarrassed to sing. Let me just challenge you with this. If you can offer praise to that new gadget that you just bought, or if you can raise your hands and call the hogs on Saturday, why are you not able to praise God on Sunday and make a joyful noise to the Lord? If you're able to sing, even if it's not the best, sing out. As leaders, we're measuring our success by how you sound each week. Also, engage with the words of the songs. You wouldn't be content to say in a dull monotone, "Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again." Take the opportunity to sing it like you mean it. "Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave, he rose again." It's appropriate. Finally, use the words of the songs throughout the week as the language of your faith, as you teach and admonish one another, and as you sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I guess we have some time left, so why don't we sing some more? Or I could take any questions that you have. Why don't we sing number 225? Let's stand as we sing together. We'll sing all five verses.
Rise, O church, and lift your voices. Rise. Christ has conquered death and hell. Sing as all the earth rejoices, resurrection anthems swell. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the risen King. See the tomb where death had laid him, empty now its mouth declares. Death and I could not contain him, for the throne of life he shares. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the risen King. Hear the earth protest and tremble, see the stone removed with power. All hell's minions may assemble, but cannot withstand his hour. He has conquered, he has conquered, Christ the Lord, the risen King. Doubt may lift its head to murmur, scoffers mock and sinners jeer, but the truth proclaims a wonder, thoughtful hearts receive with cheer. He is risen, he is risen, now receive the risen King. We acclaim your life, O Jesus, now we sing your victory. Sin or hell may seek to seize us, but your conquest keeps us free. Stand in triumph, stand in triumph, worship Christ the risen King.
Why don't you have a seat and we'll take some requests. We've got a little bit of time left here. 5:20. All right. All right, we'll do all three verses. 5:20.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever. Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. His
381. All right, we'll sing the first and last verse of 381. Sing 406, just the marked verses of My Hope is in the Lord. 406. Joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Lord, we pray for a heart that would break forth in exuberant praise to you. We ask for discernment, that our creative energy would always be a response to a deeper understanding of your nature and your goodness toward us. We pray for both opportunity and courage to speak as we teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. Let us never become complacent or sentimental as we praise you together, but give us a new song in our hearts because you continue to do marvelous things and your salvation is no less amazing today than it was when we first believed. Bless our time around the tables as we fellowship together and continue to guide through the week, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.